Radical love, lavish generosity, extravagant forgiveness, inclusive hospitality, compassionate action, selfless service, a passion for justice, creative nonviolence, simple living. Good day, good people. I'm Robert Farrell. This is Coalesce. Thank you for joining me. Coalesce is grounded in both and thinking, heart wisdom, and listening for the common good arising in dialogue, where we are present to presence. Coalesce provides an opportunity to encounter and discover the multiple perspectives that make our beautiful community. May we see with the eyes of our heart. May we love one another with peace and compassion. May all beings come to know the divine presence within. This is episode 48, Spiritual Maturity, Part 2. Both culture and the cultural entrapment of Christianity as blockages to potential growth towards transcendence. Each stage of brain development provides a biological window to connect with higher levels. But if the child or teenager is threatened or shamed, these possibilities for higher connection die off, and the connections to the more primitive, reflexive, reptilian brain, which is hardwired for defense and survival, are strengthened. People stop developing, or they even regress. Unfortunately, our culture's approach to child rearing and even the church's teaching style have focused on shaming, punishing, and threatening, just the opposite of what Jesus modeled. Jesus and other great spiritual teachers throughout history intended to awaken us to the illusion of culture and the reality of our transcendent nature. Indeed, Christianity has not emphasized our inherent transcendent nature for at least the last 500 years. We just wanted to flee earth and get to heaven. Christianity allowed itself to be co-opted by cultures for the purpose of social culture and order. Todd Winnard writes in his book, Rewilding the Way, "We are the people God's been waiting for. Why is this so hard for modern Christians to believe and embrace? Because God's amazing expectations and our divine potential have been hijacked by empire-based Christendom and subverted by the framing stories of dominant culture. Your native, indigenous character as a child of God has been distorted." End quote. It has not always been this way. The early church fathers and mothers were quite clear about God's goal for humanity. Augustine, who lived from 354 to 430, described the mysterion, the mystery, in one phrase. "For even as Christ became a human being, so now human beings could become like Christ." End quote. It is that simple. What Christ put together, we too have the opportunity to put together. In the second century, Irenaeus said that Jesus became what we are in order to make us what he himself is. That's daring language. We lost the courage to talk that way in later centuries. Christianity became much more juridical and rational, much more transactional than transformational. The early church understood the mystery of holiness as a true process of theosis, which is the Greek word for divinization. See 2 Peter 1:4. Gregory of Nazianzen, who lived from 306 to 391, said, "Let us seek to be like Christ, because Christ also became like us, to become gods through him, since he himself, through us, became a man. He took the worst upon himself to make us a gift of the best." End quote. This teaching lasted probably into the 14th century to some degree, but largely among the mystics and only among those who prayed from within. Julian of Norwich, who lived from 1342 to 1416, has this deep sense of the organic union between the soul and God. Hers is still an optimistic worldview. In chapter 54 of Revelations of Divine Love, Julian writes, "So greatly ought we to rejoice that God dwells within us, and more greatly ought we to rejoice that our soul dwells in God. In fact, I saw no difference between God and my substance, but as it were, we were all one. And still my understanding accepted that our substance is in God." End quote. Wow! That is to say, God is God, and our substance is a creature in that God. That is why she's still considered Orthodox. Julian is fascinated with that absolute unity, and yet she maintains the I-thou relationship of the two. We are one and not two, and yet we are two and not one. Think about that. Rather than blocking the evolution of consciousness, as much of Christianity seems to have done in the last few centuries, Spiral Dynamics is acknowledging that as humans adapt to changing conditions, new intelligence are awakened that in turn shape our future. Divinely revolutionized humans are to be conspirators with God's dream of heaven on earth. Ken Wilber says that only healthy religion is prepared to operate as a conveyor belt, moving us all the way to the higher stages of consciousness. Mere education cannot do that. Let us take this moment to connect to be conspirators with God's dream. With eyes closed and hands on heart, rest in the silence. Be still for 1 minute. So many of our problems can be resolved if we understand that people are at different levels of emotional, mental, and spiritual maturity. I am told that United States diplomats are given an intense course in spiral dynamics before they are sent to other countries because they need to have some empathy for the levels of development they are likely to find there. Richard Rohr tells about a horrifying story when he and a group of missionaries were overseas, standing outside of a couple's home, and realized that their presence was keeping the man from beating his wife inside. They knew as soon as they walked away, the man would continue, and there would be little that they could do to change the whole culture. Later, the woman was asked, "Why do you let your husband do that?" She replied, "Because I was bad." "Who decided you were bad?" She replied, "He did." I know it blows your mind, but this is early stage consciousness, which is all about power and staying at your proper level. Whoever wields the power is considered to be right. In many, if not most, cultures, men have had all the power and women submitted to it, because that's the way patriarchal systems function. But who are we to judge? It was only a little more than 100 years ago that people in the United States, people who called themselves Christians, not only tolerated slavery, but had slaves. Even though most Americans have moved beyond considering humans as property, we still have a long way to go in terms of true racial and gender equality. A significant number of Americans are still at the early purple and red levels, which we'll explore in the next episode. spiral dynamics risk appearing to be politically incorrect, but without anger or violence. And I'm offering you these levels of development as a tool for understanding yourself, others, and history. But please know it does not come close to describing the complexity and subtlety of the human person or the spiritual journey. Also recognize that the ego wants to decide its level, and it's very likely to pick a high one, which is ironic because the highest levels of development, the ego is less and less interested in categorizing things up and down. It is in many ways artificial and even unhealthy to talk about higher and lower levels, because this will appeal to the small self and lead to assessing ourselves in ways that are fundamentally untrue. Yet, we do need to understand development so we can see where the trajectory of growth is heading toward union with God, others, creation, and our own mind, heart, and body. Otherwise, we have no criteria by which to discern maturity from sickness. Without this awareness, many unhealthy people have led both churches and countries. This is the danger and also the need for a developmental theory. It is also important to distinguish between stages and states. You can have a momentary state of unitive or higher level consciousness where you experience your union with God, with other humans, and with animals, the sun, the moon, and the stars. But a momentary state doesn't mean you've practiced it and changed your hardwiring so that it has become a lasting stage. A momentary state has to be practiced for years before it can become a genuine new stage of consciousness. And still, it's up to God, grace, time, love, and suffering to nudge you forward and to keep you there. Even then, at times, for example, when you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, we all backslide. Knowing this will help you understand and forgive yourself and others. Let us take this moment to practice a momentary state. With eyes closed and hands on heart, rest in the silence. Be still for 1 minute. In the next episode, we will look more closely at each level, but for now I'd like to give you an overview of the entire spiral of human development. This model was popularly introduced by Don Beck and has been adopted by many others, including Ken Wilber. Each level, which describes both individuals and society, is represented by color. You will see this description in the notes for this episode. The early levels of development are the most dualistic and egocentric, these first-tier subsistence levels. First, we have the egocentric early levels. First one is beige. It's instinctive and survivalistic, about 0.1% of adults in the world. The second level is purple. It's a magical and animistic. About 10% of adults are at this level. The third level is red. It's impulsive and egocentric. About 20% of adults are at this level. The fourth level is blue. It's purposeful and authoritarian. Approximately 40% of adults are at this level. And at this level, some minor death of egocentricity is required in order to move forward into sociocentric middle levels. The fifth level is orange. It's achievist and strategic. About 30% of the world population is at this level. 50% of people in power are at this level. The sixth level is green, the communitarian egalitarian level. About 10% of the world population and 20% of people in developed countries are at this level. Approximately 15% of people in power are at this level. And many of the people who reach the green level stop here, believing they made it to the top. Up to now, each higher level has been contemptuous of the levels below, reacting most strongly against the level they most recently left. What Ken Wilber calls boomeritis often occurs at the green level. It is a combination of arrogance and individualism which will not finally let go of the ego's separateness and superiority. A major death of the ego must be undergone in order to move forward to the second tier of development. This cannot be engineered by the ego, but it is always initiated by reality, by God, by circumstances. This is the necessary dark night of the soul, which most will not allow. The second tier levels are sometimes referred to as the being levels. This is wisdom or non-dual consciousness. The seventh level is yellow, it's integrative. And the eighth level is turquoise, it's holistic. Less than 2% of the world population and less than 1% of those in power are at the level of second tier consciousness. Only at the wisdom levels of consciousness can we have the freedom and ability to include the value of previous stages and not need to hate or reject any of them. There is a cosmic humility and a rediscovery of hierarchy in the second tier whereby you are fully open to people still growing up and the possibility that there are people far beyond where you are now. You are now fully free to love, believe, and hope in everything. Let us take this moment to be fully free to love, to believe, and hope in everything. With eyes closed and hands on heart, rest in the silence. Be still for 1 minute. The practice this week is titled Heartful Decision Making. When you are feeling anxious or stressed, try these simple steps, adapted from HeartMath's freeze frame technique, to help you connect with your heart's intuitive wisdom. Set aside 5 to 10 minutes when you can be alone in a quiet place. Choose a posture that is comfortable, perhaps sitting or lying down, and close your eyes. Recall the stressful situation and freeze frame the thoughts, feelings, and sensations that arise. Observe where and how the stress appears in your heart, mind, and body. Shift your focus from anxiety to your physical heart area. Imagine your heart pumping each breath through your body. Relax into your breathing and feel your heart warm. Hold your attention here for about 10 seconds. Now remember a happy time or picture someone you love. Feel the sensation that comes from such joy and love. Send that feeling to your whole being. Ask your heart, what would be an effective response to this stressful situation that would help reduce future stress? Listen to what your heart says. Visualize yourself taking this action and feeling peaceful. Say to yourself, I am letting go of tension. Peace is within me. When you are ready, open your eyes. You might want to journal about this experience so you can return to these insights later and act upon them. Thank you for being with me. In the days and weeks to come, whatever stage you find yourself in the holy affirming and the holy denying, may you fall into God's loving arms and know that peace is within you. Blessings to all.